Yesterday, I worked almost the afternoon on my sermon, and it just felt like I had so much in there that really needed to be broke out and maybe shared in two or three sermons. I don't know. But I kept thinking, hey, there's just too much in here. There's too much in here. I'll be preaching all morning. And I know you guys don't want to sit here all morning. It kind of reminded me of a story of there was a snowstorm, and there was the small church, and the pastor there got there that day, and there was one guy that walked in the back door. He says, well, I'm sure glad you can make it here today. He says, you know, there's only me and you. He says, I don't really see any sense of preaching a sermon today. And the guy was a farmer, and he says, well, let me tell you. He says, if I only had one cow, I'd still go out and feed it. And if the preacher says, well, okay, he says, I'll preach the message. So he started preaching. He preached for an hour and a half. And they were leaving, and the farmer came up to shake his hand. He says, you know, if I only had one cow, I wouldn't just give him the whole load. So I don't want to give you the whole load today, so I split this up. So this is going to be on Father's Day of 2022, Stand Up, Part 1. There has never been a time in American history such as this, where we need men that are standing up for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, standing up for what we believe, standing up in faith. For too many years, Christians everywhere have taken a position of standing back and standing down. Men everywhere who know Christ, He is asking us to stand up. The direction that America is going in gets scarier and scarier by the moment. If we lose another generation of our youth to the adversary, we are going to lose this country. If we do not change the course of this nation, the Christian community will become outlaws in our own country. I want to share that again. If our country does not change the course in which it's going, the Christian community will become outlaws in their very own country. And that's coming faster than you would ever believe. The change that is needed is one man at a time, one family at a time. Christian men, we need to stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ as never before. I want you to listen. This preacher, T.J. Jakes, you ever heard of him? Probably most of you have. And he wrote this as he talked about families. And I want to read part of it to you today. It says, if you're a messed up man and you have a family, you're going to help make a messed up family. If you're a messed up man contributing to a messed up family, and your messed up family goes to church, then your messed up family is going to make its contribution to a messed up church. If you're a messed up man contributing to a messed up family, resulting in a messed up church, causing a messed up neighborhood, and your neighborhood's part of a city, well, now your messed up neighborhood's going to make its contribution to a messed up city. If you're a messed up man contributing to a messed up family, resulting in a messed up church, causing a messed up neighborhood that resides in a messed up city that's part of a messed up country, and your country's part of the state, well, now your messed up country is going to make its contribution to a messed up state. If you're a messed up man contributing to a messed up family, resulting in a messed up church, causing a messed up neighborhood that resides in a messed up city that's part of a messed up country, contributing to a messed up state, and your state's part of the country, well, now your messed up state's going to make its contribution to a messed up nation. And it goes on. One man and their contribution to one family. He was reflecting from the scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 1 through 9. So I want you to turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 3 is one that you're very, very familiar with. He talks about in the last days what the world will look like and what it will be like. So let's answer the question. So what is a messed up man? And what does it mean for a man to be messed up? A messed up man is one that doesn't know God. What does the scripture say? Dennis referred to it in Faith School this morning. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. Lives by his own standards. How many people do we have out there today that are living up by their own standards? They're not living up to God's standards. They're living up to whatever they want to do whenever that they want to do it. He has set himself on the throne of his life that I can make the decisions of what I want to do, when I want to do it. No one is going to tell him what to do. Self-indulging and self-gratification. That is a messed up man. And this scripture tells us what the world is going to look like in the last days. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the days, last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves. They put themselves on the own throne of their own life. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Proverbs 14:12 says this, there is a way that seems right to man, but it ends in the way of death. The death is the second death, eternal separation from God. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says this, all we are like sheep that have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Ezekiel 22 verse 30 says, so I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on the behalf of the land. And there's three words that I want to point out from that scripture. That's Ezekiel 22, verse 30, if you're a note taker. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on the behalf of the land. The three words that I want to point out from that scripture is man, stand, and gap. Are you that man who will stand in the gap for our children, for our family, for this nation? Because we need somebody to stand in the gap, because we are dying. We are dying. And it's not because of the dumb things we're doing, and it's not because of Putin over there in Russia. It's because America has left God. And we need to return to God and humble ourselves and call upon his name and ask for forgiveness for this nation. Washington, D.C. is not going to do it, saints. The saints need to ask for forgiveness for our nation. That we need to stand in the gap for our nation, and we need to stand in the gap for our families. 18.5 million children are growing up in the U.S. with no father. 18.5 million. Because men have decided that they're going to do what they want when they want to do it. And they're going to walk away from their wives, and they're going to walk away from their children. Jesus Christ did not come and set up his own kingdom and sit on his throne and say, now I want you to fall down and I want you to worship me. How did Jesus Christ come back? He came back to the family. Think about that. He came to the family. Men, we're supposed to be the priests. We are supposed to be the ones that are leading our families, the head of the household. Means, oh, does that mean that I'm going to write out all the checks and I'm going to make out all the financial decisions? Well, let's start where it begins first. Let's start making the spiritual decisions for our family as the head of the household, as Christ is our head. Then other things will fall in the place where they need to fall. 15 million children are growing up in the U.S. with no father. The U.S., the United States, owns a title as a world leader in fatherlessness. The United States. We have squandered our most precious and prized possession. and the most precious and the prized and the greatest possession that we have as a natural resource is our children. Our children. How many times in Deuteronomy, how many times in Leviticus does it say, you will teach your children's children's children, so when they ask, you will be able to tell them. So how do I stand up? How do I stand up as a saint? Because see, it's not just for men. But how does I stand up as a man? How do I stand up as a woman of God? In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 through 6, in verse 1, it says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my command. Length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Number one, verse 5, I'm going to put my trust in God. And verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. My dependence will be in God and not on self. Number 2, verse 6, I'm going to acknowledge Him in all things, allowing Him to guide my life. Verse 6, it says, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Number 3, verse 1, I'm going to stand on the Word of God in faith believing. And verse 1 says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. Number 4, I'm going to walk in the light, reflecting that light onto others. Now, that's a different scripture. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Number 4 is Ephesians 5, verse 8 through 10. Ephesians 5, verse 8 says this, for you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And verse 8, but you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So to review those steps again, so how do I stand up and what does that look like? Number 1, I'm going to put my trust in God. Number 2, I'm going to acknowledge Him in all things. Number 3, I'm going to stand on the Word of God. And number 4, I'm going to walk in light and I'm going to reflect that light to others. Number 5, the last but not the least, I'm going to enter the battle. We've stood back, we've stood down for too long. Christians, we need to enter the battle. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, you're right there. We're going to read verses 10 through 18, then we'll come back through it. You know this scripture, you've heard it many, many times. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and that the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all to stand, stand, therefore having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. You and I know where the battle lines are drawn. We recognize the difference between light and darkness. And it's amazing because there are so many people that do not recognize the difference between light and darkness because they have been in darkness so long. We know who our enemy is. If I'm going to stand in that gap for my family, my children, my grandchildren, I need to stand in the strength of the Lord. In verse 10, it says again, finally, brethren, be strong in who? Be strong in yourself. Be strong in your church. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. My strength is the Lord God Almighty. It's not the strength that resides in Leo Friel. That's why I need His armament. I need to stand in the strength of the Lord. Verse 11, I need to be equipped with His resources and not my own resources. You cannot win a spiritual battle with your strength and with your resources, and we've all tried that, and we all know it does not work. You will never defeat the adversary within your own strength. You will defeat him through the Lord Jesus Christ, and what's amazing about all this teaching is Jesus has already defeated him. We just need to stand in a place of position of authority, that we take authority over him. We need to take authority over our household. Not in a sense that I'm going to control everything, but in the name of the Lord Jesus, I want your presence in this house. I want your hand, Father, on my heart. I want your hand on my life. So I am being the man that you want me to be. There's too many men out there that are just having children and not being a father. Amen? We need men to be fathers. We need men to be grandfathers. We need men to be great-grandfathers. One of the most impactful things that you can do in your life is come to church on Sunday, because I don't care how many years that you've gone on to glory, whether that's 50 years or 60 years, they're going to say, I remember when my great-grandpa, he'd pick up his Bible. He had notes in it. He had written in it. And every Sunday, I knew where he was going to be. That speaks volumes to young people's lives, because young people need somebody that they could look up to, and there's nobody in this world you can look up to. We look up to sports figures that live in darkness. We look up to political leaders that walk in darkness, or we would not be doing the things that we are doing in this nation. Recognize the enemy in verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. In verse 13, you're going to armor up. And I like it in verse 14, where that transition from verse 13 to 14, where it says in verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, then what does it say? Stand. When you've done everything that you can do to stand, then stand. Stand therefore, having your girded your waist with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. We need to stand up. Fathers, we need to stand up. Every father in this country needs to hear this message. We need to stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to call on the angels of heaven to come against and battle the forces of darkness. Last year, we killed in America 900,000 of our babies. 900,000! Does that not break your heart that we are killing children? 1 out of 5. Is killed in an abortion. That breaks my heart. And if it breaks my heart on this earth, I know that God is weeping in heaven over every one of those little children. Men, we need to stand up. How many in black America where they just have children and then they walk off and they leave their children with the mother to raise them singly all by themselves? We have single mothers all over this nation because men are not willing to stand up. And it's not standing up in yourself. It's standing up in the gospel of Jesus Christ, because you do not have the strength to stand. But God does. That just breaks my heart when I think about it. 900,000. I remember when abortion first started taking place, you know what they said? They said, well, we'll reach the point where we will not have enough young men and women in America to support the workforce. What do we got right now? But since we don't have enough of our own people, we will open the borders and let them come across. What a shame. I'm going to put on salvation. I'm going to walk in faith. And I'm going to stand on His Word, and I'm going to pray, and I am not going to move. The amazing thing about this armament is that everything that has already been done was done at Calvary. You get that? Jesus defeated the adversary. He ended death because He ended sin. And when He defeated the adversary, you took that old lion that goes around roaring, and you pulled out all of his teeth, because all he can do is roar. But through that people will listen. So what the Lord Jesus says for you to do is put on that helmet of salvation, be secure in your salvation that you have in Jesus. And take that shield of faith, because He's going to shoot those fiery darts at each and every one of us. And you're going to take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and you're going to stand on that Word. So in this battle that is going on, that is taking place, all you're doing is standing there. One, a position of authority. One, a position of trust. One, of a relationship that you have with your Heavenly Father. And you're going to say, Jesus, sick Him. Because I have victory over Him. Because greater is He, dads, in you than he that is in the world. Because you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Take authority. Take authority. All we have to do is stand up. In this battle, think about it. Jesus has already defeated the enemy. The victory is already ours. All we have to do is stand up. And we just don't have enough men in this country standing up. But this message, you'll hear today, and just pray that somebody out there is flipping around on YouTube or whatever, and they're going to pick up this message, and they're going to say, you know what, I need to accept Jesus and get my life back in order, and I need to be standing up for Jesus, because if I don't want to do it for myself, I want to do it for my children, because they deserve better than what they're getting from me. Amen? Let's stand in prayer. If you stand with me today, Lord Jesus, we rejoice in Your goodness and Your love and Your mercy today. We pray that, Father, You would bless our hearts. Bless all of the fathers, the grandfathers, and the great-grandfathers with Your blessing. Anoint them from on high to walk as You want us to walk, to lead as You want us to lead, to stand in the gap for our families. Grandpas, you need to be praying for your grandkids. Grandpas, you need to be praying for your children. We are called to a house of prayer. This is a house of prayer. We come together in the name of the Lord Jesus today. And adversary, we know that You have defeated many of our young people, many of our children, and You've got them in the grips of the alcohol. You've got them in the grips of drugs. We bind You in the name of Jesus. We take authority over You in Your precious and holy name, because You have given each and every one of us that authority. And as we walk out of this place today, we're going to walk with strength. We're going to walk with power. We're going to walk with anointing, and we're going to stand in the gap for our families, for our children, and for this nation. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. God bless you all. Have a great day.